Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm NFL linebacker TJ Watt, and this is my personal best. YPB by Abercrombie is the activewear I'm always wearing. That's why I reached out to co-design their latest drop. I worked with designers to create high-performance activewear that holds up to my toughest workouts. Shop YPB by Abercrombie in-store, online, and in the app. Because your personal best is greater than anything.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Now?
Yeah.
No, I feel someone's going to talk to you. Because if you don't stay in constant communication with someone, I feel like you're going to go to a very dark place.
You're gonna pull me out of the depths of like being like, you know what? I might be falling out of love with baseball. And it's like, we got to get you talking
about
baseball.
Yeah, we got to get you like back on track of like understanding how awesome the postseason can be even without the Mets in it. Sure. So, all right. I just want everyone to know we're going to have – You know, I'm going to actually like let's do this. We're doing this on the fly a little bit. So obviously we're going to have a ton of postseason stuff coming up. It's going to be a nonstop tidal wave of postseason stuff. And we're going to kick this off with a conversation that I had with Garrett Crochet, who is obviously pitching against Max Fried in game one of one of the most anticipated wild card series in a long, long time. Red Sox, best of three at Yankee Stadium. And this is the exclusive interview with Garrett Crochet. Before we get to the what's what, before we get to Evan and the Mets, I want to get out of the gate. I don't want to bury the lead. Let's get things, put people in the right place before they actually listen to Evan rant about the Mets. Okay, so here's an exclusive conversation I had with Garrett Crochet.
Guess what? There's no one on the planet I'd rather be talking to than Garrett Crochet.
Fact.
Fact, thank you. You must be excited. You must be excited, right?
Yeah, very excited. Obviously, we still don't know where we're going, but... Yeah. I suppose that's you know.
Well, by the time people listen to this, they'll know where they're going. So yeah.
Right. Exactly. Man, I'm just happy to get on the road though and go somewhere. You know, we got, you know, all year long we've been playing meaningful baseball, but now for it to be, you know, up to the next step, this is what you play for. So just really excited. You know, and hope to take advantage of the opportunity.
I know that we talked a little bit about this before, but how does this feel different than when you did it before the postseason? Obviously, you're a young guy.
I remember my rookie year, there were some guys at the end of the season they're like, congrats, you made it through your first full season. And this is like, we had already clinched playoffs and everything, and it was like, you made it through your first full season healthy. And I kind of took like a sigh of like relief. And then the playoffs came back, and I was like, oh God. And like all year long this year, the talk has been, you know, we're not playing for the playoffs. We're playing through October.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of been the mindset. And most of the conversations like that I've had throughout the season, like they tend to come back to that general statement. So it's exciting, man. I feel like I'm prepared and ready to go the distance.
Well, okay, so there's the team, hey guys, we're playing through October, and then there's the you, we're playing through October.
Right, right.
Right? And so when does that go back to spring training where like this, we're mapping this out for you as best we can?
Right.
And then but with the idea that we're talking about the end of October, not the end of September.
Like as far as workload and stuff?
Yeah,
like that.
Just like just managing. I mean, maybe it's like you're just taking it case by case, but I don't know.
That's kind of been the case. It's kind of just listening to my body and doing everything I can in between starts to feel good enough for the next one. It's, you know, and especially as we get into October, it's like nobody on any team is going to be feeling great right now unless they're just coming off of a too long IL stint and are super fresh.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to feel great. It's just about feeling good enough and you know, having your preparation take precedence so that then you feel confident getting the job done.
Congratulations, by the way. I'm just going to congratulate you on a lot of things, but also like navigating your way through this it should be appreciated that what you've been able to do in terms of not only being good, but this is new world. I know everyone talks about this is a new world, but I don't know if you had talked to anybody or multiple people about this dynamic. I remember us talking when you first went to Getz and said, hey, I want to do this.
Right,
and we
right.
had a plan. But throughout this year, you say, okay, give me advice about how to get to 205 innings and then beyond.
Not really. It was kind of just I felt like last year I built a good base of knowledge by having those kinds of conversations. And like for better or for worse this year, I had confidence in my plan that it was just going to work. Mm. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of the guys enter the year that way and then encounter some bumps and bruises throughout the season. But, you know, thankfully I was able to, I guess, see my plan through and just stick to my routine. And, you know, it all worked out. I don't think that necessarily I was doing the right way to do it, but it worked for me. So I felt really good about it.
So what advice would you give somebody who was doing it? Not that, if I'm doing it, which I'm sure I'm gonna do it, but what advice would you give somebody going through it? Just do your thing?
Yeah. I mean, essentially, that's kind of felt like that's how I felt throughout the process. You know, I wasn't going too hard in the weight room after spring training, especially after the All-Star break. It's like really slowly tailoring everything down to just like your essential needs and trying to make sure that the main priority that day was is it catch today? Is that the main priority or is the main priority today just recovery? And as we got into September, every day the answer seems to be recovery.
Really?
Just especially as we're gearing up for this stretch. Yeah, so for me, I felt like when I was younger, I was maybe putting emphasis on the wrong things. You know, I too am a believer of like the harder worker tends to be luckier than the next guy, or tends to have things go his way just because he's prepared. But you know, I felt like this year I was just trying to work as smartly as I could.
You know what it is? Melatonin in preparation.
I'm not a big melatonin guy.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just saying, however you get your sleep.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Right?
I agree.
Because sometimes, you know, like we, like it's like you said, you have to pick your poison, right?
Right, definitely. Just kind of winging it on the fly, though. Yeah.
So, when one of the things that I love, like the idea of get on my back, I'm taking you through the postseason. Like, as a young player, and not to say, like, it's one of 26.
Right, right.
But still, we've seen guys, this is awesome. I got, like, the ability to do it and the opportunity to do it. I don't know if you looked at anybody when you were growing up or you followed a playoff run, maybe even as a younger player, like, man,
even from afar, like, man, that is awesome. Because when he pitches in the postseason, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Obviously, Bumgarner was unreal.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I feel like you could look around this locker room and point out five or six guys that can do the same thing. And kind of like you said, it all boils back down to one of 26. And for me, it's... I'm trying to do my job and put the team in position to win, same as I have the past.
Yeah, I don't want
to
put pressure on you. I'm just saying, I just like the idea.
No, it's not pressure. It's, you know, we earned this, so it's not like I'm going to feel pressure and it's going to turn to nerves. No, I'm going to feel the pressure and have pride in it because we worked for this moment. I think that we're meshing well as a group, and that's going to continue into the postseason.
In the words of Charlie Morton earlier this year, if they give the opportunity to figure it out, then figure it out. Right? This is the opportunity. Isn't that like so simple?
Yeah, it is. We were talking about that the other day. It's like, you know, coming into this season, it was, you know, do you have any expectations? Like, what do you think that you guys can achieve? And it's like, I just want to see. Like, there's only one way to find out, and that's to go do it. And, you know, the next month is not an acceptance to that either.
And also the adrenaline of it is awesome, right? I mean, like, one of the things that, like I mentioned Zach Gallen, the 243, he said, no, physically, it was cool. Like, but the minute that it ended, I wanted to sleep for 3 days.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I could see that being the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's funny. I was seeing that because we were at, like, a very similar place in innings. And I was like, damn, he made 10 more starts after that?
Yeah, he was at 210, I think you were at 205.
Yeah, that's insane.
But again, this should be
right.
Good because it's like, he's like, I felt good that last start.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And he was probably just sleeping a ton, like you said.
Yeah,
getting as much as he could. This time of year, too, I feel like it's adrenaline takes over. Your mind doesn't let your body get sore because it knows that you're nearing the final stretch.
The last thing is you have to pack. So obviously, you know, you want your A game. You want your wardrobe A game for the postseason.
Yeah.
Are you when you pack? Are you like, oh, I got it. This is postseason packing, right?
Not to be honest, I have a very limited wardrobe.
Oh, you do?
It's not all too different than what I packed in the regular season. I brought two suits. That's the only difference. I don't normally bring a suit, but got about 14 pairs of underwear.
That's like we've talked. Like Trevor Arch told me that he packs every pair of underwear he owns.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
But and then, by the way, excellent job, like, of celebrating, shirt off. Dustin Pedroia, the great Dustin Pedroia, told me once, if you aren't showing a little nipple, you aren't trying.
I realized that about halfway through before we all went outside. Me and Greg were looking at each other like, I guess all the fat guys have their shirts on, huh? And then we got outside and did that shirt off pick, and I was like, man, I wish I would have took it off earlier. Just because it looks so funny, like all of us are cross-eyed and not wearing shirts.
It's good. But I don't know. I look at tattoos. Did I ask you the tattoo question?
Which one?
If you win the World Series, will you get a baseball's and boring tattoo?
I'll think about it.
Well, you know, manager is committed to doing this.
AC is.
Yeah. Locked in. Giolito also. Hitting coach also.
I could be in on this.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll loop back.
All right. I like that.
All right. Now that we get that out of the way, let's talk about the what's what. This is a two-pronged podcast where we look at the future, we look at the positive, we look at the excitement that comes with someone like Garrett Crochet, who could say, you know, and I love talking to him about, like, the idea of being that guy, the get-on-my-back guy. We've seen it so many times, Evan, right?
Like, yep.
There's always a guy. You know, he mentions, like, Bumgarner and
yeah,
there's always a guy. Who's it going to be? And I've worn out the whole Zach Gallen 243 innings things. I get it. But it's a good lesson, man. It's a good lesson. We're going to get to – we got time for all of that. I want you to offer sort of what transpired, your feelings, the guttural reaction for you off of coming off of game 162, which, by the way, Evan, we can agree Major League Baseball doesn't do everything right all the time. This is right. Putting all the games at 3.
Yeah.
Right? Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, because it makes every manager say, you know, when push comes to shove, regardless of the scoreboard watching and everything, if I have anything to play for, whether it's, you know, winning the East, winning the Central, getting a playoff spot, doing something, I have to put my best guys in now, regardless of the situation. And I feel like that makes it the best. Instead of like, oh, the Mets won, or oh, the Mets lost, so I'm just a get all my good guys out of there and bring up some random dude, you know, so.
Yeah, we're watching the scoreboard throughout that, whatever, three-hour window, and I turned to my wife. I said, one thing that we should do to adjust it is that we should severely fine the team that is the last team to finish. We should pace of play. Because you know, that's sort of the frustrating thing. A game will end, like, wait a second, this game's already in the seventh inning. All right. Anyway, you had a little bit of that. So if I had to go through what happened on Sunday, I know that from the American League point of view, we saw that. I think the biggest thing when you were looking at trying to guess about what was going to happen, it was the Alejandro Kirk grand slam, right? In the first inning, right?
Yeah.
Toronto, they get out to the lead. Now, I know that Tampa closed the gap to 1, but still you're like, okay, if Toronto looks like they're going to win, that wouldn't make a difference in what the Yankees were going to do. And then Cleveland actually comes back, which is incredible. It comes back, and that's a weird dynamic. But they once the Red Sox and Toronto won, that you kind of knew what everyone was going. So there was that. But let's not bury the lead here. The lead is over in the National League, right?
yeah.
Okay. So right now it's set up. The Padres are going to play the Cubs. Oh my goodness, what a series that is.
Yeah,
so that's. Great series. I feel bad for both those teams having to not only start, but then they have to play the Brewers. There's no easy outs. So I don't know if you know this, Evan, but the Dodgers are playing the Reds.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers are playing the Reds. The Dodgers are playing the Reds. They're not playing the Mets.
Yeah.
They're playing the Reds.
Yeah.
Take me through from a Mets fan's point of view. What Sunday was like for you?
Yeah, so I was actually, it was funny because in the first couple innings, I was just sitting on my couch watching the Met game, obviously keeping track of what was going on in the Brewers-Reds game, because at first the Reds got out to a 2-0 lead and it was still nothing in the Met game then. So I was like, crap, you know, no matter what we do, it doesn't matter. Then they have the big inning because Sean Manaea didn't even make it through the second inning. So then they have Brooks Raley come in. He finishes out that inning. Then they bring in Ryan Stanek, who completely blows up. He gives up 2 runs. Then I think Tyler Rogers comes in, gives up another 2 runs. So the Mets are down 4-0. And then, of course, you check your phone after that, and the Brewers take a 3-2 lead and eventually take a 4-2 lead. So it was like torture because it was like, it wouldn't matter if we won anyway. And then it was like, psych, actually, you know, they're losing. It would set you up perfectly, but you're also losing. And then it just felt like it felt like the most chaotic thing too, because the way Carlos Mendoza, he was like trying to use all his guys, but it was a really weird order that he used them in. So he had like Edwin Diaz going in the sixth and seventh inning, or the fifth and sixth inning when the Mets were down 4-0. And I was just like, I don't really know what's going on here, because if the Mets were to take the lead, I don't know who the hell we're bringing in to try to preserve the lead at that point. So it was a little wonky. But yeah, I mean, once it got closer and closer to the end, obviously Gary Cohen, the Mets broadcaster, was like keeping the Mets fans informed on what was going on in the Reds game. So it got a little more depressing as the time went on, because it was like, the Reds are definitely going to lose, but at the same time, the Mets also are showing.
The best way I can describe it, it was insult to injury. Yeah. It was insult to injury. I mean, you had this dynamic of the Mets fans feeling so bad about themselves.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the last few weeks, as you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but you have that dynamic, and then you're like, okay, it can still work out, and so forth and so on. And then the insult to injury is the Reds lose.
Yeah.
And not only that, the Mets get shut out. I mean, it's like it was just –
it was like the worst possible because
it was the worst.
It was like, hey, if we win, you know, everybody. It was funny because everybody was like, "How dare the Marlins try this hard? How dare the Brewers not help us out?" When at the end of the day, it was like all you need to do was win the baseball game and then just hope things went well for you, and you couldn't even win the baseball game. So it just really, it was like blaming other people is just
you can't win it. You can't beat again. You can't beat the Marlins. I mean, like,
yes,
I feel bad for the Mets, and it really is amazing. I look at the Mets, and I go back to that one press conference, and I know that we've said this before, but it is amazing, Evan. Like, we go back to that press conference at David Stearns, and he was legitimately asked how awesome his pitching was. Yeah. Like how awesome his starting rotation was.
Yeah, and that was at a time prior to really any of the super big guys being around, too.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top-brand workout gear, like high-quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby! Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Manaea wasn't even. It was Griffin Canning. It was Kodai Senga. It was Clay Holmes. And I don't even remember the last two. It might have been Tyler McGill David Peterson.
Peterson,
right?
Made the All-Star team.
Yeah. That was like the biggest. It's like a lot of people talk about the home run derby curse. I think him making the All-Star team might have been the biggest curse. Because after the All-Star game, I think he had an 8 ERA. So he really flipped the switch and went the total opposite way.
Is there – now that we've landed where we've landed.
Yeah.
And by the way, I do look forward to the Reds-Dodgers series. I think all these series are going to be good, honestly. Like, I'm not, like, super jacked up for the Tigers and Guardians, but –
Yeah,
you know,
it's kind of a funny one because it feels like it's been played out and they've played each other last week.
That's part of it. That's part of it.
It's not like a brand new thing where you're like,
I tell you, it's so weird. I was in the Tigers clubhouse and, you know, they're celebrating. And you know, obviously some people are like, why are you celebrating? You barely, you know, you just avoided a historic collapse. But
yeah, they were like our AL brothers in arms throughout the last part of the
totally
season.
Were.
Where it was like we could both collapse together,
which is the
guys.
Biggest what collapse. What was the, I should know this. What was the Mets pinnacle of comfort?
You know, they were 21 games above 500 at one point during the season, and that was I think in July or June. But they were pretty high up on. I don't think they might have been above the Phillies for a little bit. That was neck and neck for a little bit. Then the Phillies just completely took off, and then they were four games up in the wild card like a couple weeks ago, and then it felt like every day. The team who was chasing us changed. It was like, oh crap, Drew Gilbert and the Giants are coming after us. Up, wait, they're coming up. Now the Reds are coming up.
Oh, don't forget the Diamondbacks.
Up, the Diamondbacks are coming up. Yeah. And then it was just like, all right, one of us.
The Diamondbacks, in fairness, because we got to mention the Diamondbacks for really quick. That was such an uphill climb over this last week. You know, it was good for them for hanging in there.
And they had the toughest schedule at the end.
Yeah, you had to beat the Dodgers and Padres. Who they had with Phillies, Dodgers, and Padres or something like that.
Yeah, it was nuts.
So, but anyway, great wild card series coming up. The Red Sox at Yankees.
Yeah.
The Reds at the Dodgers and Padres at the Cubs. And And then, like I said, Tigers. But I was in the Tigers clubhouse, and they're celebrating everything. And, you know, good for them. I'll say it a million times. It's baseball. You never begrudge anyone from celebrating because the season's so long. And yes, you see these people, like, this isn't for celebration. This is – you can see why these guys, they cut loose. Like, Tarek Skubal was – I'm like, oh, I guess he isn't pitching tomorrow. Like, you know, he's getting after it. He knocked down some exit sign in the clubhouse off the ceiling. But it was like, but you know, that's fine. So you have that celebration. And what was the weirdest thing, because I was there, was that then they could, I think they were going to celebrate again because they could make, they win the division.
Oh, right? Yeah. After so, today, if they won and the Guardians lost, I think, right?
Yeah. Somewhere. Yeah. So they could have done that. As it turned out, it didn't matter because the Guardians won.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, again, the Tigers lost. But if the Tigers won, the Guardians were – that would have been excruciating, right? Where you have the Guardians – you win – and then you think the Guardians were behind by how many runs? Like,
yeah, it was a decent amount. In the ninth inning, I was looking at it. In the top of the ninth, the Rangers put up three runs to go up 8-5 at that point. And then they put up four runs in the bottom of the ninth to come back. And
yeah. And then, can you imagine if that actually was before the – like, that was just –
yeah, that would have been.
They would be sitting there the like ready with a champagne. The whole thing is weird, but it was great. Yeah. It was great. I mean, other than, you know, I'm sorry about your Mets. And I guess I would ask you, do you feel like, is there a feeling? I know that everyone, like, oh, the Mets sucked. You know, they got what they deserved. They weren't a good team and everything. But still, if they make the playoffs, you know how it works, Evan. Like, everyone's going to tie themselves in the knots. Then they could beat the Dodgers. Yeah, they can do this, which they can. I mean, this happens. Like, it happens. And but do you get that sense that people were ready to be that way? Were ready to, despite the collapse, if they made it, they were going to be semi-optimistic?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because people were really, really losing. It was almost like they hadn't watched the past month of the year because they're like, we could beat the Marlins. Just worry about the Reds losing to the Brewers. And it's like, guys, the Marlins, I think, have ended our seasons during collapsing seasons in, like, multiple years. Like, I remember the last game at Shea Stadium, I went with my dad, and that was the time the Marlins ended that season on the last game of the year. So it's like, there is kind of a history to it, but I think some people were getting so focused on, like, hey, Brewers, just help us out. When at the end of the day, it was like, we couldn't even get the job done ourselves. And then, of course, you know, they go straight from that into, you know, we got to fire Mendoza. We got to fire Stearns. Maybe Cohen should sell the team. I'm like, Cohen can't do more than what he did. Like, he's what every fan wants the owner to be in terms of spending money. So that is always crazy.
And then immediately you have the report Pete Alonso is going to opt out.
You know, so. I think everybody, and it's kind of funny too because he had a really good year. Edwin Diaz had a really good year, and, you know, of course, the initial reaction by everybody is always, oh, we got to, you know, completely change the team completely. So it's like, you know, if Pete Alonso gets another clutch home run like he did last postseason, they'd be like, oh, give him all the money. But now it's like, oh,
yeah, it is true. It is. We've said it a million times. You can make yourself so much money in the postseason.
Yeah.
But, you know, that title's going to have to go to someone else, not Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
So do you want. Like, how do you view now things? Is there almost a sense of, I don't want to say relief, but for Mets fans, it's like, okay, thank you for putting us out of our misery.
Because, Evan,
it must be exhausting for you.
Well, yeah, and it felt like, I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of people said it online, and people were like, eh, you can't say that about major league players. But it did feel like 0-68 when you're trailing going into the eighth inning. It did really kind of feel like this team rolled over and died when they were losing in the eighth. So it was a team where it was like, yeah, sure, you know, obviously they were built to be good. But at the end of the day, it was like, I don't think this is a team that was really worthy of going. Now, granted, are the Reds worthy of going? I think the Mets might have kind of helped them get in. Like, I don't know if in a regular season where the Mets don't completely collapse, the Reds come in. But I think it just was kind of fortunate in that part where it was just like the Mets.
I hate to say this about the Reds. I hate to say this about the Reds.
Yeah.
The Reds feel like, against the Dodgers, like the Marlins felt like when they went and played the Phillies
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah. yeah.
Where
they have to get just the best outings of all time from their start.
Where they're lining up for the national anthem and like you can see like this isn't gonna happen.
Yeah.
This is gonna happen.
Yeah. So
all right,
it's
kind of nuts. Well, listen, we solved a lot of the world's problems. We had a great interview with Garrett Crochet and great Mets analysis from you. Yeah, do you feel any better? No, probably not.
Probably not. The one question I was thinking, though, it's going to be, I mean, obviously, I know the actual answer, and I know the answer he'll give, but it is kind of wild that Lucas Giolito, it's his team versus his best friend in game one. That could be a little interesting, right? It's the team he's on versus his childhood friend and Max Fried in game one.
Yeah, he's not pitching against game. Pitching.
It is true, but I was just thinking, like, in the dugout, you're like, hey, can you guys not hit?
Well, he just like went against Jack Flaherty. No.
That is true.
That's a four storyline. Come on.
I know.
The question is,
give it a shot.
Will, if Lucas Giolito is in the World Series,
yeah,
will Jack Flaherty and Max Fried
fly get the box
wherever they did?
Yeah, true, because they're all in the same league.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it won't be.
Well, there you go. Thank you for starting doing your best to attempt to start storylines. Good job. I think. All right. Good job.
There you go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.